The first cell phone was demonstrated in 1973 by Martin Cooper. You know what wasn't demonstrated? Shared plans. Over 50 years later, you can save on one line thanks to Visible. When you switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless Visible, you can get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon for just $25 a month, taxes and fees included. No hidden fees. No, really. You can look around for them. They're not there. Switch now at Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Here's a quick question for you. How did you sleep last night? If your battle for a good night's sleep feels relentless, I have the answer. It's a podcast called Sleepwave, with meditations and hypnosis created to help you fall asleep. My relaxation techniques will help you feel calm and ready for sleep, with soft music that will help you fall asleep in minutes. Most listeners never hear the end of an episode. So search Sleepwave on your favorite podcast app and find out why over a million people have fallen asleep to my voice.
Do not underestimate the power of PlayStation.
Beyond.
Wow.
Wait, we tied.
That was really good.
That was super efficient.
Yeah, that was really efficient.
This is Podcast Beyond, episode 399. This is kind of a lean episode compared to the sort of half an episode we did last time that had 22 people on it, I think.
22 people. It's a 400 if you count all the noises in the background.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm Max Scoville. I'm the host of one of the hosts. This is Marty Sliva. He's also the host.
Happy to be here.
And then there's Brian Altano, who is, according to one of our commenters, the Duffus.
A Duffus.
Yeah.
So what are we doing this week? We're going to do something a little special, right?
Yeah. So we've got a big, huge kind of episode 400 spectacular. If you haven't been keeping track, we are having a live event in San Francisco. More tickets just got made available.
We sold out pretty quickly, and then we sort of, I think we're breaking fire code.
Yeah.
So this is going to turn into like that scene from Carrie or that Great White concert.
Yeah.
Hopefully better than either of those, because those didn't end well for the participants.
Why would you evoke either of those things?
I don't know, because of fire code. If you go to go.ign.com/houseparty.
Yeah.
We put an extra 50. I don't know how long they're going to last.
Or something. Yeah,
I don't know
how long. Fly fast. But if you were on the fence, or it was sold out and you couldn't get in, or you have a job that you really want to quit this weekend and you live across the country and you just want to road trip it out and meet your buddies, do that.
That's an option. And if you cannot get into the actual event and you are 21 years of age or more, you can go to Neck of the Woods.
Neck of the Woods at 8 p.m.
Yeah, and Damon's going to be DJing his musical sounds.
Yeah, we're going to be there. It's going to be fun. A bunch of IGN people.
Yeah.
The event itself is not – so House Party is not 21 and over.
Right. That's all ages.
You can – I bet a baby's going to be there. Who even see this person?
We're an official baby.
I bet one of us will deliver a baby there.
A fetus? We're going to deliver a whole fetus.
A Duffus.
All right. So what are we doing? We just got back from E3. I figured it'd be really cool to just kind of talk about what it's like to be at
E3. Yeah. Our last episode, if you haven't listened to it yet, it's up. Audio form only. It's a 3.5-hour episode that we recorded from the bar at the Hotel Figueroa. And we talked about pretty much every game that existed at E3 with a bunch of our friends and colleagues and fellow developers.
It was a mess. It was a big train wreck science experiment, but like we kind of intended it to be like that. Yeah. We're trying something. You know? Yeah. That's how you make new things, is you experiment.
So. We had Ashley Johnson, Troy Baker, Anthony Carboni, Greg Miller,
Arthur
Goldfarb, Arthur Geese.
We had a very special guest who was about 100 drinks. That was all of the drinks
were
there.
We had a very large bar tab.
Yeah, that was
that definitely covered off on our, and you can obviously watch our pre and post show stuff.
Yeah.
Max and I interviewed people all week long. Marty did tons of articles. We did videos about Uncharted where we talk about the extended version of the trailer. All of that is done. We've done our homework. Now I just want to kind of hang out and get personal with you guys.
Yeah, like this is a really special E3 for me because this is my first one with IGN. This is my fifth E3 ever. I previously did it with with Destructoid sort of as a contractor for version 3 and then as working for Rev 3 Games full time. And it was always kind of – I was always kind of on the show floor. Like we never really had like a home base where it was like, here's your booth. Here's your outlet. Everyone knows what that is. It was always kind of running around hectically from appointment to appointment. In this case, it was very much the opposite, and I was pretty much chained to the IGN booth, and basically they were just bringing people for me to talk to, and Brian was kind of in a similar deal. And it was just really, really exciting because, like, I don't know. I mean, I've been doing this for 5 years. Like, I made a career out of this. I'm incredibly grateful for it every day. But there's a kind of – you don't necessarily really feel like you're doing a thing until you're out there – amidst everybody else. Like I almost didn't really feel like I properly worked at IGN until I was there, you know, talking to talking to Ted Price from Insomniac or talking to, you know, whoever about just people who were like, hey, here's the guy who made Ratchet and Clank, or like, I hear he's the inventor of the Oculus Rift, though I have interviewed him a bunch of times. But it's just, to be on this in this big stage that says IGN behind that and just being like, I used to get my cheat codes from there, you know?
Yeah. No, totally.
And I'm sure you guys have all had that kind of moment for you, but like, yeah. I mean, on top of that, it's also just getting a chance to really just meet everybody, and there's a lot of people I haven't seen in a while. And it was just a really good E3. And then, of course, everything that came out of it, which we've talked about to death, is awesome. It was a lot of cool
news. Yeah,
that
was a really good first big E3 for you, honestly.
Yeah.
I had a similar experience. My first two E3s, I was with 1UP, and we were a part of IGN, but we did a much smaller, like, less video-focused thing. It was mostly just bigger, sort of longer written previews.
Right.
Whereas now, it's this... I mean, we were all on pre and post shows. We were all hosting interviews and conversations. Like, it is insane when you look at the amount of sort of just stuff that went up that week and how it took us quite literally moving our office from San Francisco to Los Angeles for over a week for some people to sort of put this on. It's right. Kind of a staggering production.
It's very strange because I kind of came up in the same school as you, but obviously on a different abandoned or dismembered leg of IGN, which was GameSpy. I got hired by Will Tuttle, who is the editor-in-chief, and Ryan Scott, who was the managing editor, basically. Ryan Scott, who a bunch of you probably know from the Comedy Button, my co-host on that show, brought me on to do comedy stuff for GameSpy because they were kind of turning their thing over. And I was working remotely from New Jersey, doing kind of articles from there. My first day on the job was E3 2009, and I showed up and I just got dropped right in. And if you've never been into an E3 before, it's kind of everything you've seen in pictures and videos. It is that booming, screaming, loud kind of vortex of sound and light and lasers. But what a lot of people don't really break down to you is how sort of intimate it can be within all of that.
Yeah.
And I was immediately boots on the ground my first day, and it was just like, run here, meet Randy Pitchford and do an interview about Aliens, or go over here and do this or do that. So I saw Borderlands, I saw Aliens, I saw a whole bunch of different things. And then I went back to my room and stayed in this big war room that IGN had, which is basically our home base. And I wrote articles till 2 o'clock in the morning. And as the years progressed, like, IGN's vision changed. And we started E3 planning in January, basically. And we hire film crews now and basically production crews to come in, build these immaculate sets, and then we get on and we get to talk to each other about video games. And it's very different because, like, 6 o'clock, I'm kind of like, should I leave?
Yeah.
Like, am I done? Or do I have to write more? And it's like, no, we don't need you anymore. And there's something very kind of fascinating about the more of these I go to, the more people I meet, and the less, like, there's a lot of competition on the internet, and there's a lot of like, click this site, don't click that one, or we're better than them, or our traffic's better than them. But at E3, everyone is on the same page.
Yeah.
And that's what's kind of, an indie developer is on the same floor as the guys making Uncharted 4, and Polygon and GameSpot and IGN are all friends. They're all hanging out at the same parties. They're all seeing each other. And no one's out to cut each other's throats. Everyone's just sort of like, how cool is it that we get to do this together?
Yeah.
And I have E3 friends. There are people that I see once a year. We have an awesome conversation, and I laughingly or jokingly kind of say, see you next year. And then I don't see them for a year. And that list and that family grows more and more every year.
Yeah.
And this year, I feel like a lot of the negativity that was floating around the industry last year about – I mean, we obviously haven't fixed it yet, but about just feminism and female presence in games, and how we saw a lot of – Ubisoft was making a lot of stupid sort of mistakes and excuses for why they couldn't animate a woman.
Yeah.
And I feel like, you know, things are changing there too. So yeah, there was absolutely a lot of positivity there, and like getting to work with you guys was awesome. You know, like it's a really good place to be.
I think also there was just a massive kind of dearth of just there were no games because we got like last generation went on too long. Mm-hmm. Like it dragged. The new systems finally came along and it was like, oh, we still have to make games for them, and that's going to take a minute because these are bigger systems, and we got some stuff. Like last year was the year of that was E3 2014. That might as well have been this year because those games are still coming out.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
And it's cool that this was a bunch of stuff that's like it's still, you know, there's still a lot of stuff that's coming out, you know, next year, but it's like, you know, we got some surprises of things that are going to come out this fall, and mm-hmm. it's like that's how it should be. And it's also like it's good, big, exciting new stuff mm-hmm. that we hadn't seen before. So.
Yeah, and it's like you were saying with last year how there was sort of this like almost all of 2015 or 2014 had this cloud of negativity around mm-hmm. it.
Yeah, there's a fear.
Yeah, it has not. I mean, we still have a long ways to go.
Yes,
but you saw it. You saw the progress being made, and when you saw stuff like, you know, Horizon being announced and having this rad female, you know, protagonist, you saw ReCore.
Yep.
Keiji Inafune's new game. Same thing. You saw
they put clothes on Tomb Raider.
Yeah.
Like, little mm-hmm. things are happening.
Yeah, so, yeah. Like, Assassin's Creed has now it has a brother and a sister as, mm-hmm. as protagonists. You saw Angela Bassett and Aisha Tyler on stage together at
that's cool.
Ubisoft's press conference.
Yeah, good.
So yeah, it's.
It's baby steps.
Slowly but surely, you know? Absolutely. And you have companies like Ubisoft acknowledging, like, hey, Unity had some problems, and we're vowing to fix that with Syndicate. Like, that's cool to me. That's the sort of humble honesty that we seldom get from giant corporations, but when we do, it's like, oh, yeah, everyone's a human, and everyone wants what's best for this industry.
This stuff takes time, you know? And, like, people make mistakes, and people make decisions, too, you know? Mm-hmm. So it's like sometimes those decisions are mistakes, and sometimes they're mistakes rolled in with bigger decisions. And it's like, you know, I hate to just always feel like I'm apologizing for stuff, but it's like it's good to see the industry just kind of growing up, you know?
Yeah.
And at the same time, we're not, like, completely leaving behind. Like, we still got a new Doom where you're cutting shit in half right? with chainsaws.
And all of us are looking at it like, this is incredible. This is the dumbest thing I've seen, but this is so incredible, and I love it. Yeah.
I mean, I think that, you know, we touched on this for a minute, but, like, on the internet, you are kind of distilled to an opinion. You know, everything is binary because everything there is made of math, and it has to fit in 140 characters mm-hmm. and fit in a box and everything. And it's like, people are really complicated, and there's the whole kind of – there's a thing, there's cognitive dissonance where you can hold two ideas at the same time, and there's that discomfort that comes with when they kind of bash into each other. And it's like, that's kind of reality. That's kind of life, you know? Like, you can't really win them all. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of gray areas. And I think when we're on the internet, we have this kind of urge to sort of just galvanize ourselves pointing one direction, or at least trying to be able to, like, just really be like, here's me in a bucket. Like, here's all my views and beliefs in one pile. And I mean, we will get like, we'll get up in each other's faces online. You know, we'll get mad about stuff, and we'll get like really heated. And it's like, then you see people in person, and it's like, no, that's not how that. Like, we're friends. We're gonna talk.
Yeah,
you know, we're gonna go. Like, I mean, like Colin, who used to be on the show. Like, Colin is a wonderful man, mm-hmm. but he says stuff on Twitter that drives me up the wall. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, bitching about taxi drivers or whatever. And I'm just like, just. You know, and it's like that's 140 characters. You know, it's like that's exactly the kind of like everyone is constantly having the last word.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, E3 is great because it really is just here's everybody in the same room together.
And you see everyone in person. And it's like, oh, I love this guy.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You're having dinner with these people. You know, Greg's popping on the podcast. The giant mess of a podcast we did last week, and you know, we're inviting him on to 400, and him and Colin are gonna be there. That kind of thing. That's just incredible.
I think all of it's very sort of indicative of how kind of lucky we are, all of us, not just the people in this room, everyone, to be watching and enjoying and sort of documenting this industry right now mm-hmm. as it's happening. Because I mean, if you grew up anywhere near where we grew up, which I assume you did if you're old enough to listen to this show,
you've seen
this industry change so much and mm-hmm. this medium change so much. And even like we were talking about like 4 or 5 E3s ago, everything was brown and dark and muddy, and everything looked mm-hmm. like Gears of War, and that sort of mm-hmm. like, where are the colors? Like, they're here now.
Yeah.
They're in every game. They're awesome. Or like where indie games were sort of on this little chair in the corner of the room, and like now they're not. Now
all of a sudden stuff like Tacoma and Firewatch are on stage at these conferences.
They're on stage. Yeah. They're part of everything else. They're all mm-hmm. part of the conversation. So it's like I'm excited of where it's all going to go next. I'm terrified too because I'm just like, you know, what there's – a finite amount of time. We have to enjoy all these things too. Like there's just so much out there, and we're watching it grow. As somebody like I, you know, I started playing video games in 1985. Like my dad lifted me up in a pizza joint to play Donkey Kong in an arcade cabinet, and I was like, I fell in love with video games on the spot. And then the NES came out, and I was like, I want that for my for Christmas or whatever. Yeah. And now I have every system, and I get excited about every new game release. Things are continuing to grow and to change, and to be able to document that from where we are is a really cool place to be.
Yeah, it's especially like the way we get to experience the conferences. Few of us go to the conferences themselves.
Yeah,
we sent Lucy O'Brien, our AU editor, to pretty much all of them because she wrote actual reviews of like what the conferences were like, what it was like to be there, and maybe one or two video people. But most of us were in that room of our war room, which was probably 75 people. Across, you know, editorial, you know, hosts, video, wikis, engineers, and sort of having that moment where there's this madness, this hustle and bustle, and then everyone shuts up for an hour and a half because Bethesda's on stage. Everyone shuts up because Sony's on stage. And it's just us. And yeah, we're working. Like the news team is, you know, frantically writing stories. Like luckily we have a decent idea for some of the things that happen.
Yeah.
But other things we're like, we have no idea what this is.
Also, or we might have like a glimmer of a suspicion of what might be coming our way.
Right.
But then when they actually reveal it, we're like, did either of you expect to see that much of Fallout 4?
No,
not even close. And that's the thing. Like, that's the, like, we get a lot of, like, kind of flack from our audience for being, like, you know, biased or whatever. Like, we are excited fanboy babies like everybody else.
Yeah.
Like, and there's no further evidence than that war room. So like, let's talk about that for a little bit. Mm-hmm. That's actually a situation that takes months to come together. In February, Kirsten Slater, who handles all of our PR and events and marketing basically, starts scouring the greater downtown area, which is a, you know, kind of weird desert where the air is really dry. All the it's basically like an outdoor mall, and it's just a bunch of like really big
level of Black Ops 2.
Yeah, it's a bunch of chain restaurants, and it's like people are usually going down there for either for E3 or for something else at the convention center,
or a Lakers game,
or a Lakers game. So there's really not a lot down there, and that's really where you spend most of your time. So it's not like you're in Hollywood hanging out with celebrities.
Totally.
Like, it doesn't. I've had a couple of E3 moments like that, but for the most part, like, you're in a 5 or 6 block radius. You're eating food out of like a truck or like a cart or something like that.
Or
very quickly.
Like a weird little hole in the ground.
Yeah,
there's
like
so many. There's
a little
bunch
trough
of taquitos in a hole.
You got to dig up the
Like you don't eat well. You try to stay hydrated as much as possible. And you're in this room, and it's dark in there. It's basically a porn studio. Like it's a film studio, but it's kind of a porn studio.
Yeah.
So in the corner there's a bed that is covered with props that we found. There was this high heel foam like chair that I think women have a lot of time to sit on. No way that sentence is going to go well. So you pack all these guys and girls in this room, and you sit in these kind of like rickety fold out chairs on these big fold out tables that look like something Chris Farley would fall through.
Yeah.
And you plug your laptop
in. And there's just a cacophony of cords.
Yeah.
And like it's just hot because there are so many like just laptops and modems and editing bays.
And in the corner is a 25 person film crew, and they have built the set. You don't know how. I don't even know how it comes together because I don't know any of these people before, you know?
It's a little bit like a LAN party, actually.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, that's probably the closest. Yeah. It's like a LAN party, but except at one end, there's just this – there's a studio.
Yeah.
There's a set for, like – and it's the most, like, professional, shiny-looking thing.
It's like if ESPN covered a LAN party.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
And then there's a big shoe in the corner.
So then you get guys like Max and Damon are sitting in the corner, and they're hosting this, like, hey, we're about to count down to the Sony live stream. We're going to bring on Marty and Brian, and they're going to come on, and we're like, what do we think is going to happen? And we come on, and we go, well, we heard rumblings that The Last Guardian might be there, which is true. We heard about that, which apparently, like, there are levels of security for what they could tell people at Sony, people who actually worked there, who had no idea it was going to be there. They use code names for everything. Mm-hmm. And we know people that we talked to throughout the week that worked very closely or work specifically for Sony, they were like, no idea that was going to happen, which is crazy.
Yeah.
Like, we knew about Final Fantasy VII. We had kind of heard rumblings. But the reality is what we hear versus, like, what we see.
Yeah.
Like, I always thought, we'll just see a logo, right? It's like, no, we're going to see 5 minutes of gameplay from The Last Guardian. So that excitement you catch in our faces afterwards is real. It's palpable. Mm-hmm. And there's the war room is a bunch of people being like, holy shit, and a bunch of other people being like, shh.
Yeah.
We're trying to write.
Because we get excited and then we're filming things and it's just this incredible, you know, everyone.
Push and pull.
Yeah, everyone is at 110% doing what they do. And then you have this insane. So we were supposed to, the post show for Square Enix on Tuesday morning, it was going to be me, Mitch, Max, and Damon. And then something was, like, the conference went a little longer than we thought, and all of a sudden the two of you got pulled off.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, Damon and Max are being, like, walked off stage, and Mitch and I are like, And then Brian's forced to sit down and host it, and he's like, I didn't know this was happening. He's
like, I was like, yeah, sure, like, let's do it.
Let's make the best of this.
They handed me a laptop, they're like, here's some notes, I'm like, I got it. And they sit me down, and they're just, you know, they throw makeup on your face, you sit in a very high chair, which you can't move or do too much in.
That was the most uncomfortable chair.
Yeah, and they put something in your ear that's basically just like, it's Mike Pereira, and he's one of our writers here and producers, and he's just like, you're slouching. And I'm like, oh shit. And I'm like, I kind of wish you were here in my whole life to just be like, you're slouching, you're being mean.
You're not paying attention to your wife.
You're drinking too much.
Listen more intently.
No, and so the things they put in your ear, can we talk about those for a minute?
Yeah, IFBs.
So an IFB is the thing that it's the thing that the newsman wears. It's not dissimilar, but it goes in the ear.
Yeah.
Basically, there's two sizes. And I got weird ears, and I've never been able to enjoy Apple earbuds in my life.
You have little ears, yeah.
I got little tiny ears, I guess. They got two. There's one of them that looks like they call it the accordion, and it's like this little kind of clear plastic thing that looks like a fish skeleton Christmas tree kind of. Like it's this weird, like it's got little kind of concentric discs going down in a cone shape.
It's a small Italian man with a musical instrument. It's
speaking
of
Italy.
Speaking of Italy. It's a little bendy thing, and you stick it. You can stick that in there. But I put that one in. It was really sharp. It was awful. Yep. And I was like, you got anything else? They're like, we got one that's a little bit bigger, but maybe it'll – and they bring out this thing that looks like a little – it's like a little red butt plug.
You sound like the big bad wolf describing houses.
You got a whole bunch of pigs in there. You got
to
go up
and
you got
a brick one, and that's the one I could not blow.
Well, the other one looks like a little. It looks like a little weird little. It looks like those ooze guys in Zelda that you hit that you get electrocuted. Yeah. What it's called? Those guys, but it's you have to shove it in your ear and it hurts a lot, and then it's in there. Like, at least for me, everyone's got different ears. Mm-hmm. But it's kind of weird to be sitting in this rickety chair and being, like, kind of balancing. And you're, like, your legs hurt. And then there's a thing in your ear. And then you hear Mike be like, ask about the thing. And you're like, this is weird.
Yeah. What do you and then you're like, how many hundreds of thousands of people are watching this live right now?
Yeah. Yeah, and it's nerve-wracking. And it's very different than, like, I mean, I was hired as a writer. So were you, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
And you started out writing too, right? Basically.
More or less.
More or less.
Yeah, it was kind of both at the same time.
I mean, most of us started out before video was super huge, before hosting. I mean, that was Greg. Greg was a writer. Greg learned how to, you know, be who he is in front of camera. We all sort of had to do that and are continuing to have to do that, which is strange and foreign, but really cool.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I love it. It's very – my favorite thing about E3, and I was kind of telling Max about this beforehand, I'm like, it's really cool because you get to meet people at their most excited.
Mm-hmm.
Like people are bringing you – it's like imagine if I had a secret for 3 years and all of a sudden I'm like – someone was like, you can share that with everybody.
Yeah.
And I get to bring it to the table and I get to go, hey, I've been working on this game for so long. You literally just found out that it exists 10 minutes ago.
Yeah.
Can I tell you about it? I'm like, yes, tell me everything. Yeah. Like, this is awesome. You know, like working with people from Nintendo, working with people from Sony, having people from Microsoft on to show us that new controller and stuff like that. I met KJ Inafune and he came and talked to me about ReCore in Japanese with a translator. And it's like, you know, everyone is excited because they're finally showing off their artwork. They've been hiding it for so long and now they get to brag about it.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, you get people at their happiest. It's not the interview you do right before a game's out where they're like, well, what we wanted to try was to have 17 different modes. Or, or right afterwards, we're like, we're very pleased with the sales, but they could be better, and that's why it's up to you. Like, you get people who are just like, this is awesome.
Yeah, I finally got to show this thing off.
It's great. Yeah. It's a perfect time to meet somebody, you know?
Yeah, and it's awesome walking around the convention center, and you have these, like – you have these micro interactions. I mean, I don't know, Max. You were sort of tethered to the booth a lot.
I got to walk around a little bit.
Yeah, but walking around, you have these amazing, just bite-sized interactions. Whether it be someone come up and say, "Hey, I'm a huge fan of Podcast Beyond," or "I'm a huge like IGN fan," and this amazing like 2 minutes of being able to like meet a person and just have this like really awesome one-on-one like. What were you most in? Like, oh man, Horizon was awesome, wasn't it? And then you get to have those, and then like walking through a hallway, and then being able to like talk with Neil and Bruce from Naughty Dog for 5 minutes, and congratulate them on the amazing demo, and for them to say like, man, it was surreal. Like Ueda came into our demo, we demoed him the game, and then we got to say we've modeled some of the choices in the car chase after things you did in Eco. And I'm like, oh, it's amazing that we're able to see someone like Neil Druckmann and be like, man, you are like so talented. Yeah. And that he's able to see someone like Fumito Ueda and be like, holy shit, you are so talented. Like, I love that like everyone is always looking up to someone else, which is incredible.
And that's kind of, that's like E3 in a nutshell to me. It's like the most amazing thing about that is that someone will come up to me and be like, dude, I love Beyond. I love the Comedy Button. I love NBC. And I look down at their name badge and I'm like, you work for Bethesda?
Yeah.
And they're like, yeah, I'm a lead game designer. And I'm like, you listen to our shows while you make, and I'm like, that's awesome.
Yeah.
You know, so, and they're like shaking and they're like, oh, it's so cool to meet you. And I'm like, dude, your games are incredible.
Yeah.
Like, I don't even understand how they're made.
So like I was hanging out with, you fell asleep, you old grandpa, you duffus.
Little old duffus grandpa.
I hung out with two guys, Dane and Ben, who they listen to this show, I think, and they also listen to our other show, Comedy Button, and they work for Bethesda, and they're artists there, and they design things that I use in Skyrim, such as the steel sword. And And I'm just like, I don't think I knew that Dane worked there, like I kind of talked to him before, but I didn't realize like the scale of what, like the thing that you see on the box art or the thing that you get 10 minutes into the game, you know, that just blows my mind completely. And just be like, we do this thing where we hang out, we talk and we BS about what we think about things. And to think that keeps, I met somebody at PAX a year or so ago and they were like, the guy works at Bungie. And I'm like, so what do you do at Bungie? He's like, I'm making Jupiter for Destiny. And I was just like, oh, all right. What do I say to that? Like,
that's what's really cool about it is like there's that sort of like all parts of the deer thing, right? Like you really get to see that, and it really makes you appreciate every little piece of a video game because like there's so much that goes into it, and that's an easy like kind of flippant statement to throw out there, like, oh, it's so complicated, but really like there are human beings building every single piece of it. So when you're kind of like you're playing something and you're like, oh, this game sucks, like. Yeah. It doesn't suck. Like a part of it might suck, but the entire thing, like the what it took to build that, like it is a miracle that thing even exists because it could have been noted to death by 100 different people who came in the room at any given time and been like, we shouldn't make this.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like E3 in itself, it's really weird because like I said, everybody's on the same page. Everybody's on the same floor. Our booth had two floors. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to talk about that real quick. Do you guys know anything about the construction of a booth at E3?
Mm-hmm.
How
terrifying.
Incredibly expensive it is.
Yeah.
So basically E3.
It's like a bad free-to-play game.
Yeah. Yeah. It's totally. Oh my God. Yeah. It's proprietary format for everything you buy and use at E3, and you have to rent everything. So if you want a carpet, like when you go to certain booths there, generally the floor is kind of hard.
Yeah.
So when you go to Sony's booth and they have a really nice plush carpet, you appreciate it.
Yeah.
Like that costs them probably $100,000 to put that carpet down. And for us, they were like, you know, we had a second floor in ours and they're like, well, we have two couches up there. We're like, we wanted to add a third. And they said, if you add a third, you have to add a second stairwell. And a second stairwell is $20,000. And it's just like, what?
Yeah.
So again, to even meet anybody on the floor of E3 who's working at a booth is a miracle because that money could have well been spent anywhere else, but they know that that booth is going to show up in videos. They're going to have a presence there. They're going to have people coming up to them and asking them how they are and if they can get a job. Like people get hired at E3, you know, like not so much as GDC, but
if you want some insight on how expensive booths are and you know a little bit about video game business, dig up pictures of THQ's old booths and then find out what happened with them.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a scary thing. I think they had a fake plane crash the last time they had a booth. And then after that, they just had like some
real plane crash.
Large placards out in the hall.
We got a Witcher 3 statue that didn't fit in our elevator. And Pablo, our building maintenance man, had to chainsaw it in half and put it back together in the lobby.
Yeah.
And that was like a month-long project for him. E3 gets built in 4 days and torn down in 4 hours.
Yeah.
Like – it Teamsters at 5 o'clock on the dot on Thursday afternoon come in and the entire like dream gets torn down.
Yeah, it's like piranhas. They just swarm in there.
It's amazing.
Yeah. It's also crazy just walking. So it's divided into the two halls, West Hall and South Hall. And so one of the halls is pretty much all the third parties, and then one of the halls is all the first parties.
Yep.
And we're in that hall, and it's insane walking in. Like, our booth is literally the first thing when you see when you walk in there, and then you immediately get to GameSpot, and then you immediately got to Kind of Funny.
Yep.
And then you got to, you know, Sony and Nintendo and Microsoft, and it's just like that's just very surreal company to be a part of.
Yeah, that we're all hanging out at
It's like going
place.
To the grocery store and they got the milk in the back because they're hoping you're going to check out something else on the way out.
Yeah.
But it's like it's the same way the show floor is, right? Like I was walking through the floor and I saw Bill Trinan, who's like one of the head guys at Nintendo. And he stopped me and he's like, hey, Brian, when are you guys going to have me on Nintendo Voice Chat? And I'm like, hopefully soon. Hey, Jose, fix this. Like, get him over here. And 5 minutes later, I hear Brian. And I turn around. It's Dave Fennoy. And I'm like, hey, Dave. And I give him a big hug. Like, you just get moments like that where everyone's just kind of here. And they're all like, they're all working. And they're all kind of tired. But they're all really, really happy to be there. It sort of feels like this big video game high school reunion every year.
Yeah, it's definitely very high school-y.
Where you do kind of feel sad when it's over. It's like, oh, man, summer camp's done. You know, because I spent all year talking about it. Like, I go back afterwards and I decompress and I spend a few days and it's hard for me to even play a video game the weekend after E3 because I'm just like, I don't even know where to start.
Yeah. It's like looking at your yearbook.
You're and you're like,
makes you think of my friends.
And you're like, oh, my old games feel so old. But then there's the ones like Batman came out like right at the end of E3 or just this now. Week, basically. Yeah. So you're kind of just sitting there like, I don't know what to do next. But you get a little sad because you're like, I miss everybody. For 1 week or for a few days, I got to see like, all these people working in this really cool job, and they're all really excited to be there.
Yeah, and it's really interesting too because we just sort of you sort of come into it knowing that for that 5 days you're going to burn the candle at both ends.
Yeah,
like we ride ourselves into the ground. Yep. We wake up early to be in our war room by 8. We stay out very late because it's one of those. Hey, we all go back, so we stayed.
When else are you going to see these people?
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. Yeah. And we were fortunate enough to, you know, we all stayed at the Hotel Figueroa, which is where we recorded the monstrous 398.5, and that sounds like a weird like a radio station that shouldn't exist.
The monstrous 398. 8.5 with Marty, Mickey, and the Jackal.
But the thing has this amazing outdoor like cabana, bar, pool area that just everyone in the industry seems to converge on at night, every night of the show. And so we get to spend, you know, every night just hanging out with you know, everyone from IGN, from GameSpot, from Polygon, just developers, PR people, you know, people we don't get to see that often. And it's one of those like, okay, I don't care that I'll stay till last call and then we'll go up to someone's room to hang out because I don't see these people at all.
Yeah.
It's the kind of place where you can see Tim Schafer, Cliff Bleszinski, and Andy Milonakis within a 2-hour span. And it's perfectly normal.
Yep.
And part of that's LA, but the other part of it's like E3 brought a lot of this shit together, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Andy Milonakis.
Yeah, he's a nice guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was that was an interesting night.
Yeah, I don't know if we're going to go into that here, but
I had my very awesome run-in was after my Uncharted Behind Closed Doors demo. I'm walking out and someone taps me on the shoulder and I turn around and they're like, "Hey, are you Marty from IGN?" I'm like, "Yeah." And he's like, "I'm Cisco." And it was Cisco. Cisco of the Thong Song, the Dragon, was there on he was there reporting for Greg and Colin on Kind of Funny. But he was like, "Oh man, I'm a huge fan of Beyond. Like, you guys are hilarious."
That's awesome. Thank you, Cisco.
He's like,
Cisco.
He's like, I love the tall guy, Max. He was happy that Andrew's back.
That makes me really, 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 really happy.
We talked about Uncharted.
Max owns your records. He has your music on vinyl.
I said publicly on numerous occasions that I'm trying to stop myself from ever buying one of those super expensive Hot Toys action figures, but if they ever did a line somehow, maybe like 70 years from now, of Wild Wild West, and they made one of you from the video... I'd go in on that.
70 years from now.
That's like a deep cut right there.
The 100th birthday.
When they run out of Iron Men. I'd be like, $600 for a Cisco action figure in the Wild Wild West outfit? I am there.
Wild Wild West Cisco sounds like when you go to the store to buy Batman and all they have is like subaquatic Batman. I want the regular Cisco action figure first. Mm-hmm. You want the variants. Shout out to Cisco. I'm bummed that I didn't get to meet him. That sucks.
That was incredible.
What else? Do you guys have any like? I mean, that's how do you top that? How do you top like running into Cisco? Like,
I don't know. I'm sorry, the week was just a series of amazing small interactions with people.
See, something I wanted to point out that I really really enjoyed was I met tons of IGN fans and tons of Comedy Button fans and tons of just great people in general. But my favorite thing was I would ask them how they're enjoying E3, and you could the people who are kind of like, oh, it's really good, I really like this year, were like, okay, cool. But there was a large majority of people were like, this is amazing, this is my first time here, I am starstruck, I am shaken, I'm looking around, I don't even know where to start.
Yeah.
Because there's something really kind of awe-inspiring about being in that room. Like, and I don't know what it is, because like, I understand, like, I understand the circus of pageantry and carnivals and how it's all sort of just like fake.
So you've read my novel, have you?
The circus of pageantry. But like, yeah, I get it. A company hangs a plane from a ceiling and then somebody else, there's a big TV and it's booming and you're just kind of like, yeah, I kind of really fall for those magic tricks.
I didn't get over to Nintendo, but they didn't have Pokemon there this year, really.
No.
Did they have that giant inflatable Pikachu up anyway?
No, but Nintendo's booth was amazing. They had
soft carpet.
Yeah. They have this circle dedicated to Mario Maker that was just like this tower. Really awesome. Yeah. And it's weird. They don't hire booth babes. They hire very beautiful, very classy women who are dressed up very nicely that run all of their booths. Like, seeing booth babes is actually really weird these days, this day and age. It's sort of like... Yeah. It's just like a glitch in time because you're like, is it 1997?
Yeah.
Like there's a couple, like Namco had a few, but they're like in the corner. Oh, the Dark Souls statue. I want to talk about that real quick. So they –
I'm mad. I didn't really see anything. Marty, it's a weird E3 for me.
Marty found this Dark Souls statue that was – what's the main character? Derek Souls?
Yeah, Derek Souls. The third in this game you play.
So Marty finds a statue and he sends an email to our video team saying – you got to send Brian over there to do a video. He's got to get over there as soon as possible. So I go over with my producer, CJ, who like works for us remotely, and he comes in every now and then. And he's like, "What's up with this thing?" And I'm like, "I don't know. Let's go check it out. It's a statue." So I'm expecting like,
I don't know what it is. I don't know if statue is the right word.
Yeah. This was a. Someone built a scene.
Yeah.
It was a crime scene.
Someone made a scene.
Someone made a scene. This thing was about half the size of. God, how big was it?
It was just huge.
It was the size of a small parking lot.
Yeah.
I would say it's the size of a 7-Eleven.
Yeah.
There we go.
Honestly, yeah.
And it was these huge, like, massive towers, and in the middle was this huge pool, and this man was standing there, Dark Souls man himself.
Yeah, Dark Souls.
And he's kneeling, like he's screaming, and his hands are in the air, and he's just like, no! And there's a dead body with a sword in it. And inside the sword is a fountain that is shooting black blood 10 feet in the air, constantly, nonstop, just like, and it's just like, ah! And there's a man on the side dressed up like Derek Souls, and he's holding a sword. And there's like 17 booth babes wearing like gold spray painted pants, and you're like, why are you here? So I go over, and there's all these people taking pictures of it, and the closer you get to it, the more blood is splattering. So I'm trying to do a video, and I'm like, this thing's actually ruining my clothes. So it's hitting the back of my neck. So I decide at one point to stick my finger in the video. You can see me do this. Look up the video. It's called The Most Disgusting Thing at E3. Mm-hmm. I put my finger in the black blood water and then taste it, and it just tasted like paint water. I didn't actually taste it. It was just kind of a mirage. But then I went
mirage.
I went back and I hosted 5 IGN live segments in like 2 hours.
No, you thought you did, but you were in the hospital from eating.
That's right.
I was dead.
from eating the old classic paint water.
And I ended all of them, began all of them with meeting people I'd never met before. Oh, hi, you guys are working on this Morpheus game. Oh, hi, you guys are working on blah, 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 Forza, blah, blah, blah. And I went to shake their hands. And after like the third one, I looked down and I'm like, dude, my hand is like black and covered in this death paint. And I went and I washed my hands for seriously 25 minutes before that paint was off. So Namco, I don't know what kind of weird magic blood you put inside that statue, if there was a dead booth babe in there or what, but that was horrific. Absolutely horrific.
That's amazing. I love that there will always be that company that just doesn't, they're just going to, they don't care.
Yeah, they don't care.
Thing. I remember it was a few years ago, there was just like a, there's like a Tekken Lamborghini, and like Snoop Dogg was just hanging out in it, and you're like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Get out of there.
Yeah, this is 3 things that don't go together.
Yeah, but it's also seeing like amazing stories of like people tweeting out like, oh, Kanye just walked into the Uncharted BCD, or like Steven Spielberg's playing Morpheus right now.
So E3 Show Daily is a magazine that gets, I don't even know how they do it. It's a magazine that gets made every single day, gets handed out in the front of E3. They make like 10,000 copies of it. And it's got a map in the middle. That's the big draw. But it's also for industry people who show up and they're like, what is E3? Which game should I be buying this year? Like,
I'm just, from Hot Pockets. Yeah. We're looking to get in this game.
We're here. The game sphere is real big this year. You know, it's shit like that. So our friend Ryan Scott is the editor-in-chief of this magazine that gets made and thrown in the trash every single day at E3.
And you remind him of that every single day of the rest of the year.
So E3 was kind of dying down on the second to last day, and I took 20 minutes and I went to see his office, and he's got this like little corner office, and all these people were coming up to him being like, so our photographer came back with all these pictures of Kanye. And he had to give final sign-off on which picture of Kanye went into the thing the next day, and he's like, I gotta write captions. What should I write? And I was like, oh, why don't you write college dropout Kanye West came to visit us, and everyone was like, "That's really mean." And I'm like, "That's the name of his album. That's why he's famous." So that's like, and next to him is a picture of the Snoop Dogg Lamborghini, and like a guy playing a mobile game for the first time. And they take all of these little moments and they turn it, they compartmentalize it into this one little magazine that gets printed out and then thrown away, and then it starts over every single day. And that's just one part of what E3 is, you know, one sliver of it all.
And it's really funny too, because it is, E3 is also just incredibly humbling, because at any moment when you're like, I am exhausted, nothing is going right, my laptop is breaking, I need to get this thing up right away, the person who should be answering their phone is not answering their phone, you take a step back and you're like, I am doing a thing I've wanted to do since I was a child, and this is a literal dream job.
Yep.
Literal? Are we in a dream?
I don't know how that works.
I'm on the back of
literally dreamed about this.
Yes. That's true. I don't remember my
dreams. Will have those weird high school nightmares immediately after it's over where you're late for an appointment.
Yeah.
Which is really kind of a weird.
Like, why am I still having this?
And we were saying that before. Like, I don't know how long all of us will be doing this. Like, sure. I don't want to be a 75-year-old man at E3, although that sounds really fun.
We should just get a booth. Just old guys.
Yeah.
Come check out the old guys.
Old guys with a Z.
Oh, fiddlesticks.
Fiddlesticks 2075. It was Jabba Amiibo right over there. It was a big one too. Oh yeah.
Put my hand in the Dark Souls blood.
Yeah, and some.
And you're still young. You're like, I put my hand in the. I'm cursed.
Some drone comes in and shoots us the trailer from Madden 2076. I'm like, when will they stop?
This is there's a drone with a t-shirt can on it. It shoots a t-shirt out. Yeah. You hold the t-shirt up and there's a hologram on the t-shirt of the game's trailer. Yeah. And you're like, damn, these promotions have gotten out of hand.
But yeah, I don't know how long we'll be doing this, but the fact that we're doing this now is incredibly humbling and honoring. Like,
yeah,
honestly. I'm so happy and lucky and exhausted to be doing what we do, but I couldn't imagine being anywhere else.
Yeah, and anyone who reads an article, watches a video, tunes into a stream, downloads this podcast, listens to it, watches it, anyone who stops us on any street anywhere just to say hi, and anyone who's coming to 400, just it's one of those, like, we can never express just how thankful we are of that.
Seriously.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Video games.
Yeah.
The best thing in the universe.
Yeah.
Do you want to wrap it up?
Yeah, I mean, we can wrap it up.
We queued it up.
Queued it up right there. That was sort of. Yeah, but this is, next week's, I don't know if next week's episode. We'll probably do a real episode next week.
4 hours of normally what we do, 2 hour or 1 hour.
Yeah,
you know,
it was dirty. So last week's was weird, or this week's, the 4 hour one's weird. This one was sort of weird.
Yep.
The 400 is going to be kind of weird. But then we're going to go back to recording.
After that, we'll be back to normal. Goldfarb will be back here. He's actually moving right now.
Yeah, he's in Texas, burning all of his things and just crying.
Yeah, they have a weird law in Texas where you can't move without burning all of your things.
It's because of the cricket spiders. They don't want them to get out across the big fence they built to keep them in there.
And yeah, I want to say thank you to everyone who tweeted at me with support through the very hard moment I went through during Ubisoft's E3 press conference, where a horse was killed during the Assassin's Creed trailer.
Yep.
It was a tough moment for me personally.
Yeah.
Thank you. That really made me realize how many people listen to the show. I'm like, man, that connected with people.
Yeah.
Thank you for listening.
Yeah.
And stop killing horses.
Yeah. On that note, you can follow us all on Twitter. I'm Max Scoville. Marty is McBiggity. Mm-hmm. That's 2 G's and 2 T's.
Yes, sir.
All right. Okay.
Hi. Welcome.
All right. Great.
Welcome to episode 399.
I spelled that wrong, and I wonder how many times I've been tagging you the wrong account.
Some of the guys like, who keeps following me?
You got Mick Big Titty about 10,000 new followers.
So, actually, remember that there's in that press conference, they brought out
Hoop God? Yeah.
And then they had what I thought was his Twitter handle at the bottom, but I think I tagged the wrong guy in some tweet that got favorited 600 times.
Yeah.
So some random dude is just like, who apparently
I'm just someone who loves basketball and our Lord Jesus Christ.
Hoops.
Hey, listen, man, Hoop God is omnipresent. There's a little bit of Hoop God in all of us.
Yeah.
Yep. Well, and then of course Brian is Agent Bizzle on Twitter.
Right.
Thank you guys for listening, and we'll be back to normal eventually. Sorry, pardon our dust.
What
beyond.
Dust? Beyond.
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 Dust 514, obviously.
Beyond.
Hey there, it's Rachel Ballinger, and I am extremely excited to invite you to Rachel Uncensored. It's my podcast where I sit down and get real with my friends and celebrity guests, where we talk about all sorts of topics. And sometimes we might be under the influence when we do so. We cover things from personal stories to hot button issues. And it's the only place on the internet you can find an uncensored version of me. It's a side of me that you might not have seen before because it's not the most family or brand friendly. But don't worry, I'm still sort of slightly a decent human being. If you're intrigued, then make sure you check it out. New episodes drop every Wednesday. You can find it on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Trust me, you won't want to miss out on the fun and candid conversations we have here on Rachel Uncensored.